All right, good afternoon. I think we're going to go ahead and get started. Thank you all for attending today's meeting, which is April 14th, 2022. And today's meeting is the Technical Coordinating Committee for the Coastal Region Metropolitan Planning Organization. The first item up is the agenda. I would like to add one item to the agenda if we could. And that would be discussion of proposed studies. And that we can add that under the other business. Item five is for the State Route 25 Ogeechee Road Corridor study. So maybe after that, we can talk about other studies as well. And the purpose of that is that Chatham County has a couple of studies that we want to include in the call for projects. And those need to be discussed twice. Two different meetings. So this will give us an opportunity to do that. And I thought at the same time, if there are other municipalities or entities that would like to do the same thing. So if you want to think about if there's any studies that you might possibly want to ask for money for in the call for projects, today might be a good time to bring that up and have a discussion about it. Waikota, did you want to add something there?
Yeah, I just want to mention that during the 2023 UPWP development process, we did the call for plans and studies. So some of the agencies actually sent us the information, but we didn't know about the Chatham County's two studies until this month. And then if there are other municipalities and agencies that want to apply for planning funds or project funds, so just to let us know, especially for the planning funds. What we need to do, we will discuss the first round of discussion today, and then in June we will have the second round of discussion, and then after that we have to amend the studies into the UPWP in the illustrative section, and then after we do the call for projects or discretionary PR funds application, your project gets awarded, and then we will move that into the funded portion of the UPWP. So if you have anything in mind and you want to just bring up today, just let us know. Thank you.
Okay. So is there any other discussion about the addition to the agenda? Is everybody okay with that? I guess I should say, is anyone not okay with that? At this time, I request a motion to approve the agenda.
It's Leon, so moved.
Am I all a second in?
Thank you. Did we get a second?
Yes, Jim Aiello.
Oh, okay. Thank you. All in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion passes with agenda is approved. Moving on to our first action item, that would be approval of the February 14th. 2022 TCC committee meeting minutes. Hopefully everyone's had an opportunity to read through those. Are there any questions or discussion about those meeting minutes? Hearing none, at this time I will request a motion to approve the meeting minutes from this February 17th.
So moved.
And
Michelle Strickland, City of Savannah.
Thank you. And I will second that. All in favor, I'm Pamela Bernard. Sorry. All in favor, please say aye.
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 What is wrong? Are there any noes? Okay, hearing none, the motion passes. And the February 17th, 2022 meeting minutes are approved. Moving on to action item number two, that would be amendments to the FY 2023 UPWP. Waikota is going to go over that.
Judy, I cannot open this. Something's wrong over here. Okay, sorry about the technical difficulties. Currently, for the fiscal year 2023 UPWP, everybody knows that UPWP is the NPO's staff work program, and the fiscal year 2023 covers July 1st, 2022 to June 30th, 2023. We actually adopted our UPWP in February of this year, but when we developed the UPWP, the highway planning funds, because the UPWP, the money we use from Federal Highway Administration, the formula funds, PL funds, and then from Federal Transit Administration, 5303 funds. For the 5303 funds, we're pretty much certain about the figures because Alicia did the grant application in November and to December, so we know how much. But for the PL, when we use the PL numbers for the UPWP development, we didn't get the actual revenue estimate from GDOT, so they told us to use the same number, assume that it would be the same as last year. So that's what we used. And so last year's number was, come on. So when we draft the UPWP, we used the 360,000. 143 as the PL funds for fiscal 2023, and the local match would be $90,000 from the NPO membership dues. But in March 2022, we actually got the actual PL funding allocation to the NPO area, and that includes some of the money from the new transportation legislation. So you can see the Y450 is used to be like a Z450 or something, because of the new legislation, it's become a Y450. So now we see that the actual federal proportion would be almost $129,000, and the local match is about $107,000. So the total increased by about $85,000. And then another portion that we received is from the increasing safe and accessible transportation options, the Y450 money, and this will be used for non-motorized transportation plan because it's a safe and accessible transportation options. And the federal portion is about $10,000, with the local match, the total is about $13,000. So we're adding a lot of money to this UPWP. So I'm just going to show you. With this added $85,000, we want to split the money into two tasks. So one is under administration, another one is for system planning and operations. The reason for this was because, I mean, you know that we are short staffed, we need to hire two more people. And probably going through the training. So that probably will add to the administration cost. And then we are going to also update our freight plan, congestion management process, and the metropolitan planning long-range transportation plan. And then we are down to the last 2 years of the TIP, so there might be some TIP amendments or even TIP development. So we expect to have some funding to be spent for the system planning and operations. So that's why I'm splitting. They added $85,000 into these two tasks. And then we're adding a new task for the safe, accessible, and transportation options funds. And there will be two different PL contracts, one for the formula and one for the increase in safe and accessible transportation options. So basically the $85,000, the additional funds will be allocated to like I said, administration. So you can see. So task one is administration. It used to be when we adopted the UPW in February, the total is about $145,000. So with the added funds, it's about $188,000. And then for the system planning, previously it was $211,000. Now it's about almost $254,000. And so this shows the budget summary of the updated. So you can see the administration and system planning operations has increased. And also we also made some correction because GDOT assigned an official number for the US 80 corridor study. It's a state route 26 from Chatham County line to state route 21. So we just want to make some corrections administratively, correct this. And then the increasing the additional funds for the increase in safety, and we will use that for thoroughfare plan update and non-motorized transportation plan update. And that is included as task seven. And Asia will be take the lead in this thoroughfare plan and non-motorized transportation plan update. Any questions? Basically, we get additional funds. That's it. Good thing. Yeah, we would like to the TCC to endorse the proposed UPWP amendments.
Hey, Wakoda, it's Anne Marie. So I'm looking at keep that task on the and it's, it says task seven. No, go back to where it's the task seven.
Oh, this.
Where it had its own. Yeah, right there.
Okay.
So task seven, thoroughfare plan and non-motorized transportation plan update. I would recommend to include some language because in the new legislation with that additional funding, it did says, you know, safe and accessible. So if you could include some language in there that pulls from the law to include in here. So that way, if someone is searching for that, so see under you said FY 2023 activities, the activity falls under increase in safe and accessible transportation instead of having it just under the activities, but put it somewhere in the in your objective or in the title. So again, so it says on Appendix B, activity for increase in safe and.
Yeah, this is Appendix B. Maybe we can just add in this under this Appendix B, maybe we can just add a background or something because I actually already have the language in here.
Can we not just add it to the title?
But it doesn't say where the task, what task. Yeah, it doesn't say what task it goes to right there.
It doesn't say
what task.
I just want to make sure, is this the language you want us to add to task
seven? No, with the title, I'm sorry, with the title, where the title increase safe and accessible transportation options.
Okay.
So on the page where it has the task, if you want to make sure that it yeah.
Okay, so instead
I guess it's okay. Yeah, that's okay.
Thoroughfare plan and non-motorized transportation plan update, we should say increasing.
Yeah, and then that title would be an activity. So the title that you have right now would be an activity, and then the title would be the safe and accessible. Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
We can
change the title to increasing safe and accessible transportation options, and in the activities, and we will indicate that these funds will be used for non-motorized.
Yes, that's perfect. Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you. We can do that. Yeah. Asia, update this. Yeah, Asia will take the lead in this, and she will correct this page.
And so for this funding as well, so I know that y'all doing a CMP update, you're doing a freight plan, and you're doing MTP. So this doesn't necessarily having to do with just stuff. Tasks or activities in the UPWP. So if you're doing a chapter in your UP in your MTP, for instance, that covers complete street or anything related, that you can pull money from this line item to do other documents or other products as well. So keep that in mind.
Yeah, I think part of the bicycle pedestrian trail planning is also covered under task 6, which is the system planning and operations. So I mean, if this like $13,000 is not enough, we'll definitely put money from that task as well.
Yeah, that's perfect. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks.
Okay, are there any other questions or discussion on this? Okay, thank you, Waikato. At this time, I will request a motion, and I did forget to tell everyone when you make a motion to please say your name, and also when you speak if you have questions. So at this time, I'll request a motion to endorse the amendments to the FY 2023 UPWP.
This is Melanie Wilson. I'd like to make a motion to endorse the amendments with the addition to add language to include safe and accessible transportation planning to the appendix in the whatever the area was in our document that needs to be updated.
Task 7, I believe, wasn't it?
Okay, thank you. To task 7.
Thank you.
This is Kayla. I'll second.
Okay. Thank you, Kayla. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Are there any no's? Okay, motion passes, and the amendments to the FY 2023 UPWP are approved. Moving on to action item number 3, which is the 2022 Z230 call for projects. It's Alicia. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you so much. So the Core MPO manages the Surface Transportation Block Group Funds, also known as the Z230 funds that are allocated for the Savannah area. The Core MPO conducts a call for projects at least every 4 years or on an as-needed basis if additional funds become available or if funds have been released from another project or phase. And so the Core MPO staff has started the 2022 call for projects to allocate these funds for fiscal year 2023 and 2024. Since this report has been provided, Core MPO staff would like to propose some new changes, and one includes the schedule. We're proposing to kind of postpone or delay the schedule for the call for projects. So instead of doing it in May, it would run from August to September, and we're making this proposal to push the schedule back so it allows for more projects to meet the eligibility requirements. And then our second change that we wanted to do was get feedback from the committee to see about adding a 2-year reinstatement provision for local TIP projects that are withdrawn from the TIP by local jurisdictions. So local jurisdictions must receive MPO approval to avoid a 2-year reinstatement restriction. And by doing this, this will just help us with our program coordination. So those are two new items that we're proposing for the staff or for the committee. And then also this year, Core MPO is proposing to host a pre-application workshop. The intent of this workshop is to provide information about the requirements, eligibility, and the overall process for the call for projects. And in addition, the Core MPO is dedicated to supporting that we are 100% obligating all the funds for the year. And so to facilitate this, we're encouraging eligible participants to participate in the pre-application workshop and submit applications for all eligible projects and phases so we can establish a waiting list. And we want to have a robust waiting list so we can effectively kind of over-program projects or phases. So in the event that funding does become available, we have projects that are ready for obligation. That's kind of a overview of where we're going with this forward. So we definitely want to get your feedback and input on everything we're proposing. Are there any questions or comments?
This is Anne Marie Day again. I have a question. I think I don't know if GDOT is on the line, and I think this would be more geared towards GDOT. So we're still using the fund code Z230, and that's from the Z is from the FAST Act, and the fund code that's under bill is Y. So GDOT, my question for you is, are you going to be sending out the new bill fund code for this STBG money. Where are y'all in that process?
Hey, Maria, this is Tom Caiafa. You're talking about the carbon reduction and PROTECT funding?
No,
we've already sent that information.
STBG, STBG, not carbon reduction. So this is STBG that they're talking about, the Z230. So I know with Bill, it's a new letter, and it's, you know, anything you see with the letter Y, that's Bill. Anything you see with the letter Z, that's FAST. So correct. I know that GDOT is sending out, yeah. So that's what I wanted to know, if STBG codes are coming over to the MPO, since the MPO is doing for a call for project, and they're doing it under FAST fund code. Is there another fund code that's coming out for Bill from you all?
I think everything's shifting to Y230. But we haven't formally sent that out to the MPOs yet.
Okay, so y'all just need to be the MPO staff, just be aware of that, and also that GDOT should be outlining a process, because there's two new requirements, and there's guidance that was provided that there's two new requirements that GDOT would, you know, have a formalized process that would be going out to some MPOs in terms of what that process should look like.
Yeah, we'll work to get those out.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Yes, Alicia, if you don't mind, this is Leon. And as we cycle again, this is our FY21 through 24 tip. And this is a question for GDOT, I guess, more Tom and for you guys. Is there any expectations of, you know, getting us into a better tip cycle, because we're about to start the third year of our 4-year tip, and we haven't moved into FY25 nor even 26. So is there any plans on that? I know that's usually y'all's game.
No. At this time, and this is at the discretion of the Director of Planning and our upper management, and for those of you who are relatively new to this, once upon a time, GDOT used to do our STIP every year, but because that is an extensive process, we elected to, rather than having to do a new STIP every year, we would extend the STIP development out to where we do it about every 2 to 3 years. And in the case of the upcoming FY24 to 27 STIP, we're proceeding with that schedule, and thus the MPO TIPS will follow that as well in Georgia. But yeah, we're not swapping cycles, at least not with this go around, if I understand your question correctly.
No, I got you. I knew we weren't on a 1-year cycle, but again, we're starting that, you know, third year into our tip, and so you don't have anything programmed for FY's 25 or 26 in the local tip. So that's just the reason for my question, but thank you.
Okay.
And this is Anne-Marie again, and that's a very good question, because I know that GDOT internally is already have done their forecast for their 2024-2027 STIP. So this should be on the radar in terms of in directions that's going to be provided from GDOT to the MPOs, and when they, you know, developing a schedule for the TIP, for a TIP update. So that's a good question, and just y'all to keep that on the radar and get that information from GDOT, so y'all can be in line with GDOT's TIP update, because your TIP is a subset of the STIP.
Okay, thank you. I just want to clarify, if you would, for the call for projects, you talked about shifting it. I think that's a good idea, like from August to September. So just to clarify, within like the applications being due instead of being due May, what instead of being due May 31st, what day would they be due then?
So far, we are thinking that we're going to open applications August 25th and then close them September 23rd.
Oh, okay. So sometime in September, maybe?
Yep.
Uh-huh. Okay. All right. Yeah, that sounds good. And then the other question would be, and we can decide, I guess you guys, as long as you announce that, I mean, we don't have to decide that today, but the other question is the May 12th pre-application workshop. Would that still be held in May, or are you going to push that too?
We're thinking to push that too.
Okay, yeah, so that would be more like, say, August?
Yes.
Most likely?
Yep. Mm-hmm. If not the week that we open it, the week before we open applications.
I think we can probably...
So it wouldn't hurt to have that a little bit ahead, but...
Yeah, I think the pre-application workshop, we can probably start earlier than that. Yeah, yeah, before the application starts, because, I mean, some of the local jurisdictions are not as... proficient as the Chatham County, so they probably don't know the process. So if their project is not in the long-range transportation plan, and we need to like tell them that they need to like amend their plan first, amend their project into the plan first. Yeah. And if their studies haven't gone through the two-meeting cycle, we want to make sure that they do go through the two-meeting cycle so they're eligible. So instead of when they submit to us the applications and we do the pre-screening and they suddenly decide that they're not eligible. So we want to make sure, ensure their eligibility before we conduct that. So we would try to help the local jurisdictions.
I would say, yeah, this is Melanie Wilson. I would say that we would definitely try to err in doing it at the beginning or mid August so that we can make sure people have the opportunity to make whatever adjustments and do what they need to do to get their applications completed.
Would it be too much to potentially have two? I mean, just one, you know, and they don't have to be real long, but, and I suppose everybody, if anyone has any questions, they could call you guys, Alicia.
What we could do, Pam, is to look and see what it is that we're supposed to present. And what I would want to do is make sure that we've got it recorded and we have it on the website so people can look at it anytime that they need to, and that we're available to answer questions.
Okay.
Yeah.
Does anybody else have any comments about that?
No, I'm with you, Pamela. I think that prior to applications being announced, I think it would be better to have it before that if you can. And I will certainly say, Wakota and Melanie and Alicia, you guys, that's a welcome thing from some of the local jurisdictions that just have absolutely no idea of the process. So thank you.
So could we keep one on the May 12th date? Just a, you know, even if it's just a short discussion?
Yeah, yeah, we can keep that.
Okay.
Yeah, we can. Again, I just want to make sure that we've got the opportunity to have something that we can put up that people can reference. So it may not be May 12th. It might be the week after or something, so that I can get with staff and we can just look over what's going up and we can post it. I do think it would be helpful to have it posted and then have another one in August that gives people the opportunity to ask questions, but to go over any additional things that they might have, you know, concerns or questions about.
Okay, great.
Okay, another thing I do want to mention is that Alicia is still working with Tom from GDOT to figure out how much money we will have in fiscal year 2023 and fiscal year 2024 inside of the new transportation funding legislation. So there's some added funding. And then we also, I know that Tom sent us some information about the Y301 funds. So we probably, when we do the call for project, we probably have a separate call for project for the sidewalk and bicycle project as well. We will present that. But right now we're still trying to figure out like how much money we will have. So we really cannot allocate the funds until we know how much we have.
Yeah, and I'm totally agreeing with the moving the applications and that part of it. I just, because like you said, Wakota, as far as the steps, you know, there's a lot to it that, and some of that takes a little time. That's what I'm thinking, if we can do something, you know, some kind of workshop just to make sure everybody understands what the whole process is before we get to the applications.
Yeah, we would try to do this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. I think we're good. Thank you. All right. So at this time, Alicia, I think what we're looking for, an endorsement for this today?
Yes.
Or are we putting this off since we're adjusting the agenda? Or are we still doing the endorsement today? Okay. Okay. So we're looking for a motion to endorse the new schedule, the revised schedule but keep the May pre-application workshop. And otherwise, everything would remain the same.
Right? And Pam, if I may, if we can at least have a little bit of movement for that May workshop,
specifically.
It'll be done in May.
In May, yes. So we're going to endorse this. It's just we're going to change. Basically, the only thing that's going to change is some of the dates, and especially like the actual application dates are going to shift it to August to September.
Yes.
Okay. And at this time, I will request, unless there's any other questions, is there any other discussion or questions before we move? No. Okay. At this time, I'll request a motion to endorse that.
So moved, Michelle Strickland, City of Savannah.
Thank you, Michelle. And I will second that. Pamela Bernard, Chatham County. And all in favor, please say aye. Aye.
Aye.
Are there any no votes? Okay, hearing none, the motion passes and the call for projects is endorsed.
Thank you.
Moving on to action item four, which is also going to be Alicia. This is the amendments to the FY21-24 TIP.
Thank you. The MPO's current short-range planning document is the TIP, and it lists all the surface transportation projects in the metropolitan planning area that use federal, state, and local funding. And as projects change, the TIP is modified to reflect those changes, and so this staff report outlines the proposed amendments for the month of April. In March, we received several TIP requests, update requests from GDOT, Chatham County, the City of Savannah, and CAT. I will go through those with you. From the City of Savannah, we've got Truman Linear Park Trail Phase 2B. The request was to move the construction phase from fiscal year 22 to 23 because of a prolonged right-of-way phase affecting the project schedule. And this request is pending a GDOT concurrence letter to shift the CRISA funds. And for Chatham County, we had Old River Road Improvement Project. This request is to delete the project from the fiscal year 21 through 24 TIP because portions of the project are outside the core MPO boundary, have not secured the funding. For the Chevis Road Improvement Project, the request is to add Z230 funds to the PE phase in fiscal year 2022. And this is because funds are being released from the deleted Old River Road project. And that same request is made for Garrard as well to add Z230 funds to the PE phase in fiscal year 22. And that's also from the funds being released from the Old River Road project. From GDOT, we have a request for I-516 at 1503 Duran Avenue. And this is to add a PE phase to the fiscal year 22 because of a requested EJ analysis for the project. And this request is pending confirmation of funds from the City of Savannah. CAT has put requests in for Section 5307 to update project descriptions and realign budget allocations because FTA recently released some updated allocation amounts. And then for 5307H, we are updating program funding for the passenger ferry from fiscal year 24 to 22. And the core MPO staff has been coordinating with CAT to update this 5307 funding table, which I'll scroll to real quick. If that didn't make you guys dizzy or not. So we're proposing a new formatting for the table, just to kind of have a better understanding of the money, federal costs, local share for each project and for each fiscal year. And the highlighted cells are pending just some verification of numbers from CAT. So with that proposed changes, are there any questions and comments for the staff?
This is Ashley Goodrich from Chatham Area Transit. For the highlighted portions of our 5307 table, we're missing the local share 20% in preventive maintenance, as well as the 50% local share and the operating assistance. Are you looking for us to get those numbers to you at the end of TCC today, or
By the end of the comment period, by the time the date of the MPO meeting, okay, we can make those changes and get those updated.
Okay.
Thank you, Alicia. Does anyone else have any comments or questions? I think YCO has got one. Hang on.
Yes, I want to actually ask GDOT about this, because for Project Rain, GDOT requested that we add about $300,000 HIP funds, the leftover HIP funds for the PE phase, and then some Z230 funds for the PE phase. And then I did check the HIP allocation. Seems like some of the funds are really like nearing the deadline for the obligation. So I would rather use the HIP funds first before we start to use the Z230 funds. So I want to get GDOT input on that. Let me just open this one. As you can see, I actually checked. So we actually have the HIP funds allocated to the US 80 bridge replacement project, that one at Blue River and Let's Ride a Creek, and then the Chatham County I-16 at Jim DeLoach Parkway. That part of the money, because I checked the GDOT system, the funds have been authorized, but we still have a balance about $686,000. And a lot of that will expire at the end of September 30th, 2022. So I would rather use all of this balance, the HIP funds, for the project during the PE phase. And then the total is about $800,000. So that we can use the like about $100,000 Z230 funds. So if these two projects, the US 80 bridges replacement project, need more money later, and they can probably request the Z230 funds instead of, we don't want that funds to lapse. Would that be okay with GDOT?
Tom, are you there?
Tom, are you there?
Hi, this is Robbie. This is Robbie Cottle. I have this written down. I've been taking notes, and I will speak with Tom about this, about the issue. But I see what you're saying. Yes.
Yeah, because Z230, we have more time to spend the money, but these funds actually the deadline for especially part of this deadline for obligation is September 30th, 2020. So I would rather spend this money first. And also I checked the GDOT system, seems like the HIP funds in the GDOT system, the right of way funds for the Blue River Bridge replacement and Let's Ride a Creek Bridge replacements are still shows local. They're not showing HIP. So I want to make sure that you're showing the correct amount. And then as far as today, they are still showing in pre-construction. They are not showing authorized. I mean, one of these in 2022, I mean, the funds should be authorized by now. I mean, if those funds are not authorized and they cannot be used, we need to move that to the balance and use the balance, and we need to spend the balance because we don't want that funding to lapse. Would you please double check on that?
Absolutely. I will check with OFM and see what's going on.
Yeah, we will follow up with you on that as well after this meeting. I just want to make sure. And we are going to do the TIP amendments, but we want to use the money that near obligation first.
Okay. Yeah, I would appreciate like an email summary. I'm trying to take notes, but you know, there's a lot of different fund codes and stuff being tossed around, and I've been in the role for a week, so I'd appreciate an email follow up.
Okay, yeah, we'll follow up with you after this meeting. Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. I'm just writing some notes. Okay, mm-hmm. We'll make sure we get that. Thank you for bringing that up, Micah. Yeah, we want to make sure we get that those HIP funds used if we can.
Okay. All right. Let's see. So what we're looking for at this point, I guess, and if there's no other questions or discussion, is a motion to endorse the amendments to the fiscal year 21 to 24 TIP.
So moved, Melanie Wilson.
Second, Michelle Strickland.
Okay. All in favors, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. Hearing none, the motion passes for the amendments to fiscal year 2021 to 24 TIP are approved or endorsed.
Thank you.
Okay, so that's it for the action items, which is the hard part. So moving on to other business. We'll talk about the studies. So the first study that we're going to talk about is the Ogeechee, US 17, State Route 25 Ogeechee Road Corridor Study. Waiko, do you want me to cover that since that's our project, or do you want to start us off?
Yes, please. I will just open this so that you can have this reference.
Thank you, Waiko. Okay, so I guess I could just read this, but Chatham County would like to pursue federal funding for a corridor study on Ogeechee Road between the county line and Dean Forest Road at least. That would be just the unincorporated section. If there's been a tremendous amount of growth and development in this area that has impacted levels of service at the intersections and will continue to do so without further improvement. The purpose of the study would be to obtain recommendations for corridor and intersection improvements, access control, and development permitting. You know, we just need to find a way to kind of control and develop it wisely, I guess. The county is interested in partnering with other jurisdictions within the MPO to extend the study limits to 516 if Garden City and City of Savannah are interested, and possibly even down into Richmond Hill if they wanted to partner on that as well. So the cost for the unincorporated section alone is anticipated to cost approximately $250,000. And then obviously each municipality would have to provide the local match for their portion. So in order to get the planning study fund, to get federal funds, it's required that we discuss this at least two meetings. So this is the first round of those meetings. Does anyone have any questions about that proposed study? Or is anyone interested in joining us on that?
Well, that's going to be, they're posing my question. This is Leon. So has anyone discussed with Garden City or the City of Savannah the potential for this study?
No, not yet. I don't think so. At least not officially.
Okay. Is the $250 the total cost, or is that just the federal share or local share, just the whole cost for it?
I guess the whole thing, the federal and local, I think.
And if you're asking, and I know Michelle's on the line, so she can reach out to her folks with this, but I'll talk to Scott at Garden City. If we do partner with the other jurisdictions, I assume that the proportionate share is just going to be based on linear mileage of each jurisdiction's piece of the roadway.
I think that'd probably be the easiest way to do it.
Okay. All right. Well, I'll talk to Garden City, and I guess Michelle, can you talk to your staff and folks?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah, I think it's needed. So I think that'd be really good. Okay. So moving on from that study, then to add the discussion of other proposed studies, Chatham County is also interested in two other studies. One would be, and I guess this came up at the One Chatham project meeting, but it's President Street Railroad Crossing.
So we're looking for a feasibility study to evaluate alternatives and their associated costs with possibly reconstructing the interchange there to alleviate the problems with people having to wait 30, 40 minutes waiting for the train to go by. So, okay. So the cost of that study would be approximately $300,000. That would help look at the cost-benefit ratio of different alternatives and maybe come up with a concept plan. The other possible study that Chatham County is looking at is...
Pamela, before you go to the next one, if you don't mind. On that one, the city is also interested in looking into that possibility. I just spoke with the city manager yesterday about this specific project. And I think it's a great idea because there's been so many crayon drawings done on this by the private sector. It would be good to go ahead and solidify, you know, from what the federal side would support, not just the pie in the sky thing. So the city is interested in this as well.
Wonderful.
And Wakota, forgive me for jumping in and asking you to remember something off the top of your head, but if memory serves, there is funding that was put into cost band two.
I wouldn't say it's a placeholder, but we have previously there was some kind of legacy project, the President Street overpass at Truman Parkway over there. There was a project in cost band two of the 2045 long range transportation plan. But I think this is actually to find out what exactly will be there, because I would say it is identified project, but doesn't have a specific scope.
Right.
Have a specific concept. Yeah. So if this study can give us a detailed scope, and we can just move on, and so that become a real project. And we can just pursue that. Yes.
Yeah. I remember us talking about that when we were doing the Total Mobility Plan and setting aside some funding in cost band two that would be for
yes, it is in cost band two.
So this would give us, this is a great lead into that.
Yeah. Actually, Wakota, if you look at the 2045 plan, it's actually in cost band one.
No, President Street, that one is in cost band two.
The President Street Truman Parkway interchange.
Yes.
I'm looking at what I just pulled up online yesterday. It sets on cost band one.
I double checked. I think it's in cost band two, but.
Well, it's in there anyway.
Yeah. It is in there.
Yeah.
Because I mean the one Chatham, three Chatham, one Chatham County projects, two of them in the 2045 plan. The I-95 at Airways Avenue project, that is definitely in cost band one. This President Street, I'm pretty sure is in cost band two.
I just emailed you the sheet.
Okay, yeah, I will take a look. Yeah, thank you.
Leon, don't disagree with Wakota. You can make him mad.
No, just kidding. Well, yeah.
Wakota, we always have fun talks. I was nice a little while ago. I said thank you for the presentation thing. I mean, you know, everyone.
Yeah, I will double check. Yeah, because we want to make sure if any local jurisdiction wants to participate, or we want to make sure that you meet all the process before you submit your applications. So.
Okay. Are there any other questions or comments about that one? That's the President Street at the railroad crossing study. Okay. So I have one more. Okay. So this one is the State Route 21 at CSX Railroad Crossing. And this is also a study to determine the feasibility and evaluate alternatives and their associated costs. To eliminate this at-grade railroad crossing. The cost of this study would be approximately $300,000. And this is not in the MPO long-range plan and would need to be added. From what I've been told the Georgia Ports Authority and Garden City have indicating a willingness to participate with the project.
Georgia Ports Authority will participate with the project.
Okay. Okay, great. Is anyone from Garden City here?
No, but Garden City will as well.
Oh, wonderful. Okay. Oh, okay. And I guess that covers it. So those are the two projects that the county's interested in pursuing at the coffer projects, other than the US 17th. So those three. Hopefully that's it. There may be some others, I don't know. But well, we still have two projects that we put on the list previously, which was the Abercorn and then State Route 204, and then also one on Islands Expressway. So I don't know whether we'll try to apply for those or not, but I think we've already talked about those, so we should be good on that. So at this time, I'll just open it up and ask, are there any other agencies that have potential studies that they want to talk about at this time? Just to make sure that we have the discussion twice. So if there's anything you potentially want to apply for money for, please bring it up. No takers? Okay.
I just want to mention, because in June, we probably need to amend the studies into the UPWP. So by that time, we will need more detailed project descriptions. So right now, we want to do the study, but we don't have the detailed project descriptions. So
I might have to get with you and find out exactly what.
Yeah,
what
kind so make sure you send us that so that we can include it in the UPWP for the next meeting.
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay, well, if there's not any other studies that anybody wants to talk about, we'll move on to the next item, which is the status reports. And first is Waikota with a freight plan update.
I can talk about the freight plan very, very quickly. We advertised for the freight plan update back in November, and then we did the procurement process, and we eventually selected our consultant, and the top ranked consultant was the Cambridge Systematics. We have executed the funding contract actually between the MPC and GDOT on April the 5th, and then yesterday's MPC meeting, we executed the contract between between the MPC and the Cambridge. And so now our exec director has already signed our contract. So waiting for Cambridge to send us their final executed contract with their signature. After that, we will start to do the notice to proceed. And hopefully we will start the plan update process in April. And then the target completion date is October 31st to 2023, but we think that we can get that done earlier, probably in July or August of next year. And that will be in time to fit into our 2050 MTP development. So now just waiting for the signature from Cambridge Systematics. That's it.
Great, thank you. Okay, the next one is the State Route 26. Is that the
Leon?
Is that the Highway 80 study?
Yes, this is Highway 80 study.
Okay.
GDOT changed the project name.
Okay. All right. State Route 26 from Chatham County to State Route 21. Leon, do you want to give us an update on that, please? Leon, are you still there? We can't hear you, Leon.
Okay, before Leon start, I can mention, because I did check the PI number today, and the funds have been authorized by GDOT. But I do have a question about this for GDOT. does GDOT and the Pooler has to sign some kind of funding agreement or something? I mean, otherwise, how do you do the reimbursement process, the invoicing process? I think it probably would be similar to our freight plan update. You probably need to sign a contract, right? I think for normally for the PE phase, you have a PFA, but this one probably don't need the PFA, but it still need a funding contract between GDOT and the Pooler, and between Pooler and the consultant who will be selected, right? So I just want to make sure that we get that taken care of before we start the project.
Sorry, I couldn't unmute.
Okay.
Go ahead,
Sorry. Wakota, we'll look into that to be sure. I know that our earlier discussions were based on just getting the funds authorized, and that only required an inclusion of the study into the TIP, but we'll confirm that to be sure if a source of funding agreement, other funding agreement is going to be needed.
Yeah, because I think Pooler will manage the project, and the consultant will probably issue them the invoice. And then they will pay the consultant, but they cannot pay the consultant until they are paid from GDOT. So I just want to make sure the funding agreement is in there, in place.
Yeah, I think it's just because of the different type of funding that it might have. It's going to be different than what would be under the freight plan, just because of the nature of where the funds are coming, because there's E230 as opposed to specific planning funds. But we'll confirm that to be sure.
Okay, thank you.
Yep.
I'm sorry, Pamela. Tom, please just communicate back to me and I'll make sure Pooler does whatever you need him to as far as getting any agreements in place. The proposed schedule is pretty much telling you everything that we're doing on the project. I mean, it's out on the streets now. It is on the Georgia Procurement website. It is on Pooler's website. We've already got a group of TCC representatives. Thank you very much. They're willing to help do the review part. I think the only problem I have in the schedule is the interviews, and I will get with Alicia. I believe you said you would help us as far as that is concerned, but y'all are going to be in Florida, but we'll figure that out. And I have also sent out emails to the city managers that are along the corridor, just letting them know that the Pooler's running this. It's just an FYI for them, obviously, because there are no expected funds to be contributed for any of the other organizations.
Leon, would you please add me to your contact list, because Alicia will leave MPC on the 21st.
What kind of place are we running here? This is Mark runs away. I don't know. All right. Yes, I can do that. I'll make sure you know.
Staff the place.
And add me as well.
I'll be glad to do so. You said that, Wakota, Alicia, thank you for your assistance. We're going to miss you.
I appreciate that. Thank you all so much.
Okay. All right. And so I guess this is a good moment to mention that if anyone doesn't know, Mark Wilkes has retired. So Wycote is taking over his duties for him here at the MBO. So we wish Mark the best in his retirement. Hopefully he's having fun. Okay, so moving on to the next item then would be the, I can't say that. Is that the flood optimized plan for the infrastructure? That's quite a mouthful.
Exactly.
So Alicia, yeah. Please.
Yeah, we abbreviated to the FMT for short. The Core MPO was awarded discretionary planning funds for this project, and we received a total of 3 eligible proposals. The proposal review committee reviewed and ranked all the proposals. Get you to schedule right there. And then we conducted our consultant interviews on February 11th. And then after scoring and ranking the interviews, the highest ranked consultant was the University of Georgia. And so the Core MPO is currently under negotiations with UGA, and we're expecting to do the contract execution actually at the May 3rd MPC board meeting. And that's all.
Thank you, Alicia.
You're welcome.
So anyone have any questions on that? Okay. We'll move right along then. The next item is the State Route 21 Access Management Study. And this should be the final presentation.
I think Amy Turner.
Yes, I'm on the call now. Is it okay if I share my screen? Because I pared those slides down to kind of condense it, given the time.
Yeah, can we?
Okay, I got it. Okay. Let's
see. Share her screen.
Perfect. Okay, is it up now?
No, I don't think so. Oh, hang on.
I can see it.
Yes. Can everybody see it now?
Yeah.
Okay. Yes. Okay. I just wanted to give an update on the State Route 21 Access Management Study. I'm Amy Turner. I was served as a project manager from Corey Engineering, as well as on the team with Symbiosity, Transport Studio, and Cambridge Systematics. The project has been completed. We are submitted the final deliverables for review, and I just wanted to give an update. And later this month, we'll present to the actual Barnes City Council on May 2nd. We were trying to be on the April 18th agenda, and a few things happened. Just overall, some information about the limits of the study. It was from 516 or throughout 25 up to Grange Road. A lot of freight traffic paralleled the port and also the new K through 12 campus at the current location of Groves High School on Priscilla D. Thomas Way. Just a little outline of the study process. We began last April. It included looking at the existing conditions and needs assessment, public engagement, preparing concepts, and the final recommendations implementation plan. Just a key highlights, we did host project advisory group meetings, public meetings virtually. There were press releases, news coverage of the study was generated, a good amount of positive and constructive feedback on what a lot of people wanted to see happen along the corridor. Just a few highlights for the first phase one survey where we were asking about challenges and concern. A lot of people noted, you know, the train congestion, traffic congestion, wanting more safer opportunities for pedestrians and bicyclists crossing or traversing State Route 21. We initiated a second survey at the end of the year with the draft of the final recommendations, and overall, there was very positive feedback on the improvements, a lot of opportunities to improve the recommendations and different things like that. So what were some of the final recommendations? Improving signal timing along the corridor, coordination, given the new signal at the school, installing raised median segments, offering access management as well as pedestrian refuge for people crossing the corridor, multi-use paths, you know, intersection improvements, pedestrian scale lighting and other streetscaping and placemaking elements. And then also looking at expanding transit north on Route 21 on Brampton Road where it currently ends. Here's the shot of the typical sections for proposed for the corridor. Here's an example of the conceptual layout near the school here. We noted where a couple of the transit stops should be located along the corridor as well. Here's the conceptual rendering our LA team put together of the existing corridor between Minus Avenue and Smith Avenue. It's a 6-lane section, a center to a left turn lane, a lot of asphalt, a lot of people crossing, a lot of pedestrians crossing in between the long distance between signals. With the recommended improvements along the corridor, it really improves. And then of course, this is conceptual, what the actual landscaping things will look like. And the means would be different, but it really improves the feel of the corridor, giving the active most transportation more access and connectivity, and really creating a gateway into Garden City along State Route 21. Here are how the projects were bucketed. So the first short-term goals, they prioritize the improvements between Minas and Smith Avenue. That's where the majority of the traffic was, the schools, the commercial, the residential areas. So really, and the highest crash rate was along that section with the six lanes as well. So those were prioritized in the short term, as well as streetscaping improvements, expanding transit. As you go into the 5 to 10 year, coordinating with the State Route 307 corridor study, those recommendations kind of depending on how those timelines match up could be in the short term or the medium term. Looking at improvements at the railroad crossing at State Route 21. And then some of the longer term improvements are extending the trail north of 307, a regional bike connectivity plan, and other opportunities for new roadway connections for additional north-south roads in the area. For Garden City, we put together a project's implementation timeline. So we wanted to help them visualize some of those projects that we put into the implementation plan and how they could begin thinking about, you know, initiating the process to get into the call for projects, identifying other funding sources, and, you know, eventually going into PE and construction and design. So we tried to give a good visual to help them prepare and plan on how to use their resources to really get these projects advanced. And that is all. It was a great project. We really appreciated the opportunity to assist Cornfield and Garden City. And that's all. Thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate that presentation. Does anyone have any questions? Comments? Okay, thank you. Moving on to the, I think it was a very good study, and it there's some good information there on recommendations. So moving on to the MTP update.
Okay, let me just open the attachment. I'm just going to give a short description of the Metropolitan Transportation Plan update. So a Metropolitan Transportation Plan, or MTP, is a document with an outlook of 20 years, and it serves as a blueprint for transportation systems and serves it is aimed to meet the mobility needs of the metropolitan planning area. It's mandated to be updated every 5 years. So the current MTP, MTP 2045, was updated in 2019. And so now we're coming up on another 5 year update, which we expect to be adopted in August of 2024. So some of the tasks that staff will be working on in this plan update is updating the goals, objectives, and performance measures, tracking census information to develop socioeconomic data, developing a public involvement plan, and updating various plans and programs such as the congestion management process and freight plan update. Let me just scroll a little further. So I wanted to talk in a little bit more detail about the public engagement process. So this is these are some of the contacts that we currently have for our public involvement, public engagement. But I did want to add that we actually have found more contacts than what is currently listed here. Specifically, I found some churches that have high Spanish-speaking populations, and that way we can just cast a wider net and get more input from everyone within the core MPO area. So right now we have churches, community centers, libraries, and city halls, and basically places where the community comes to meet so we can have a pretty robust public outreach process. We also have the MTP update schedule. So the longest part of this process is the public involvement process. And then we also have the travel demand model development update schedule. And then again, this is just kind of an overall schedule of the update. And as you can see, a lot of time is devoted to surveys and graphics and analyzing those surveys. So a really strong public input and public outreach piece is involved in this. And we just wanted any comments or any questions about this.
Well, I just thought of one way you mentioned some Spanish speaking churches. So you have an interpreter? Or do you have somebody that speaks Spanish?
So I'm pretty sure we have an interpreter. I know for the Title VI plan, we have it translated into Spanish, and we also have it translated in Chinese and Vietnamese. I can't name our Spanish interpreter right now, but I do know we have used one before, and we've used it for a couple of our documents.
Okay, thank you.
I think with this the new planning, probably we will emphasize equity planning, because this is one of the planning federal emphasis areas for equity planning. Another one is like resistance planning, urban flooding or something. So that's the like urban flooding model project will fit into. So I just want to mention, Asia did a very good job in identifying all these locations, and so we will make sure we probably will have to expand this a little bit, because we are still keeping track of the census development. We don't have the Savannah urban areas yet. As we get the Savannah urban area, we have to identify the MPO boundary. Probably we'll have to like use the Savannah urban area, and then plus that we would do like a 20 plus year expected to be urbanized area. So after we finalize the MPO boundary, I think we've identified probably other locations. I think probably expand more in Effingham County. I mean, where in Effingham County, we probably didn't include any of that over here. And then also in Bryan County, Richmond Hill, and we will see what other additional locations we will have. But Asia has been participating very actively in the public participation process for the MPC's comprehensive plan development. So we can use that as the basis, as a starting point. But for the MPO boundary, which is bigger, we will identify more locations. And then Asia and Sally will develop the detailed participation plan. So because, I mean, we are short staffed, we want to start earlier. If you see this schedule, you can see properly, we still have like 2 years and a half out for the final plan adoption, but we want to start early so that we can cover all the bases. So Asia and Sally will devote their time on the public participation, and then design probably for like where research the venue, so what kind of information, flyers, brochures, and we will do. So they will do that public involvement plan. And then Alicia was doing the goals and objectives, and she has already presented the goals and objectives at several meetings before. We probably need a public meeting to collect the final input on the goals and objectives before we finalize that. And then also Kate from the Advanced Planning Department is doing the socioeconomic data. She's checking the census information. And we just got the guide from GDOT about how to develop the SE data, socioeconomic data for the travel demand model. So working with GDOT right now, so we're requesting them to send us the TAZ shapefiles so that we can start to do the aggregation or whatever the census data. So it's like, and at the same time, we're doing like a fleet plan, urban flooding model. So all of that. And in Asia, we also take the lead in urban non-motorized transportation plan update and Sarah Flem update, and that will feed into the long-range transportation plan. I think that our current missing point is probably congestion management process, because Mark was in charge of that before he left. So hopefully we can hire somebody pretty soon. So because we have to finish the CMP before we adopt the MTP, because it will fit into the MTP. So it's just all the moving parts, and we are all trying to work together on this. Yeah,
thank you. And we appreciate it. Thank you both. Waikato and Asia, for your work.
Thank you.
Are there any other questions on that? Okay, moving right along. Already running just a little late, so we'll kind of keep these brief, but if we could go through the information reports. Let's start with GDOT. Katie, are you going to go over that for us, please?
Sure. Okay, for pre-construction, number one and two, beginning with the bridge replacements over Savannah River and Middle River in Port Wentworth, both of these projects continue in preliminary design. Number three, safety improvements on State Route 204 from State Route 21 to Rio Road continues toward PFPR. Number 4001-5675, I-16 at Chatham Parkway, currently working on correcting FFPR plans. Line 5 and 6, widening and bridge replacement on State Route 404, Spur US 17 from Northeast Savannah Harbor Parkway to Back River. Both of these projects have concept reports ready for submission and just holding until further direction is given from the feasibility study for the Talmadge Bridge. Number 7, the bridge replacement at Bull River continues in PFPR. Number 8, Lazaretta Creek Bridge continues toward right-of-way plan approval. Number 9, 52185 State Route 26 from I-516 to Victory Drive. Working on final design and toward FFPR, the right-of-way contractor is currently processing the rescind letters for parcels that will not be purchased. And we have a new line, project 0018023, the roundabout at State Route 30. It's in concept and anticipating its first notice to proceed in May. For the active projects, all projects are progressing. Line number 9 is still under the deferral for the 120 days. So that'll be, the award will be deferred until June. Line 10, the roundabout and Brian is finishing up the corrective work. And line 11, Effingham Parkway has begun driving pile bents. Are there any questions?
Can I ask a question? Number sure. One and number two, I thought the Islands Expressway started earlier, right?
Okay, was so that, these...
This is not even 60% yet?
Right, so this is the innovative program delivery. So they kind of start construction while they're still... Is that what you're talking about?
Yes, I thought that one started earlier than Jimmy DeLoach extension.
Which bridge are you talking? You said one and two. Are you talking about Islands Expressway Bridge?
Yeah, I thought that one started earlier.
I think they had some various things that have held them up. Some
got delayed.
On design, yeah, delayed them. I think part of it is on the design side and part of it's on the construction side, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, because I thought that one started earlier, but seems like it's going to be like completed later.
I can check and see like if there's anything holding them up, but I know like in Innovative they start construction before they're finished with design, so things kind of even up at the end.
Okay.
I'll just make a note to check on those for you though for next time.
Yeah, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Katie. Next is county projects. So I'll try to cover those kind of quick here. Let's see what we got. So we did get the PFA for Chevis signed, and then I got the PFA for Girard today. So that's signed as well. So that's progress. I-16 at Jimmy DeLoach Parkway. That one, I think they had the initial team concept meeting. So I'm looking at moving forward on that one as well. Quaco widening, we're hoping to get the clearing. We've got all the right of way, so we're hoping to get the clearing started here soon. Little Neck Road construction, they're starting on right of way acquisition there now. Unfortunately, Islands Expressway, Oakland Island Road, we did let that one, and we got really high prices. We only got two bids. It's just the economy is just really volatile right now with so many issues with the high fuel prices and shortages and everything else. It's just, so we've decided to just sort of put that on the shelf for a little while until things kind of stabilize a little bit and we can get some better bid prices. Other than that, we're working on the other three, wall tower, the Johnny Mercer signal, and the US 80 sidewalks. All three of those are also in right away acquisition right now. So hopefully we can get that pretty quick on those. Construction wise, we've got the McCorkle Trail is going well. So hopefully we'll be done with that sometime this summer. And then resurfacing, we just had the pre-construction conference for that this morning. So they should get started on some resurfacing for around the county here. And that should be done 6 months or so, hopefully. And that's it. And does anybody have any questions about those? Okay, thank you. City of Savannah, Michelle, please.
So Barry Stanton is here attending virtually, and so I'm going to defer to Barry.
Good afternoon. First project is the Lethlops Avenue widening. The pre-construction meeting has been scheduled for May the 3rd. We're expected construction to begin this quarter. The traffic control center, a draft RFP has been completed. We expect advertising to start this quarter. Next project is Duran Avenue, a meeting, well, the city setting up a meeting with GDOT FHWA to discuss the scope and schedule associated with additional requirements for the environmental justice portion of the EIS. Right-of-way plan preparation is ongoing. The last project is Trimillennia Park Trails Phase 2B. Z301 funds were transferred to FY23. The city is requesting CRSAA funding in the amount of $1.7 million, and the project acquisition process is ongoing.
Yeah, Barry, I do have a question on two projects. For the traffic control center, mm-hmm. We currently have a PE right-of-way construction funds in fiscal 2022. We are already in April. I checked before the meeting. Those funds have not been authorized. So if you cannot make sure those funds are authorized by June the 30th, you need to start to work with GDOT, probably send a request letter to move the funds to 2023 with the project or something. So need to check with GDOT on that one. And for the Trimillennia Park Trail Phase 2B, Alicia has already mentioned, we received the city's letter to request the funds to 2023 and then GDOT concurrence for the 301 funds. We haven't received the letter for the CRESA funds because the CRESA funds are also in 2022. If you need to move the funds to 2023, you need to send the letter to GDOT, and we need to get the concurrence on that.
Okay,
well.
I'll get with both of those project managers and relay the message.
Okay, because we need get this resolved as soon as possible. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay, thank you, Barry. Let's see who's next, Kat.
Is Michael going to do it, or Ashley?
Ashley, is that going to be you? Thank you.
This will be, I'm Ashley Goodrich from Chatham Area Transit. We'll start with our paratransit vehicles that have had manufacturing issues continue to delay. An update to that is that we are reworking through our state contract for the paratransit vehicles, and due to the delay in the ordering with some supply chain, we will have a little bit of increase for the paratransit vehicles themselves. What that has turned into is that instead of 33 vehicles in fleet, there's going to be a slight reduction in the number of fleet. However, we are currently working to confirm that we're kind of with the state contract sort of in hold as to when the order comes in and how quickly it will get here. The diesel bus replacement Z230 is currently in process. A bus order was placed in December for 3 35-foot buses. Estimated completion date is June 2023. Our Clever Devices ITS transportation system, a majority of our fixed route buses now have Clever installed. We are in phase 6 of 9. The soft completion date was originally in spring of 2022, and we are looking forward to fall 2023 for that project. Our ferry boat maintenance facility and dock project, we're continuing coordination with the City of Savannah and the FTA. We currently are working through a real estate appraisal process that is currently ongoing with the City of Savannah. We expect to have a May update for that. Our Cat Central facility rehab in spring of 2022 is currently in contract negotiation. We had a few things come up through bonding and legal in the FTA, so those are still under negotiation. The facility rehab will probably move through summer to fall of 2022. The bus wash facility upgrade right now is currently in construction, and we do see that being finished by summer of 2022, beginning of fiscal year 23. On our support vehicles, all of our vehicles have currently been ordered and delivered. That project will be closed out. Any questions?
Thank you. Ashley. All right, moving on. Is there anyone here for from the LATS MPO?
Stephanie did provide this information sheet.
Okay.
So if anybody is interested in this project, and her information is very detailed, I think.
Yes. So that should cover it. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. And last is the TIP, the TIP project tracking.
Yeah, TIP project tracking. We did this, I think, originally just to try to make sure that the funds don't get lapsed, and we will get the funds authorized and spent. I think Alicia was working with Ashley's predecessor previously to figure it out for the Z230 funds once they flex to FTA and how they spend. So I mean, like keeping track of the FTA, because MPO doesn't have access to the FTA side things. So we will try to finish that as soon as possible. But so far, everybody who got awarded HIP funds, Little City funds, and Crescent funds have replied to us and feed us the information. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Wicked. Before we leave, does anybody have any questions about that or any of the other information reports? Okay, so other public comments. Is there anyone here from the public that would like to make a comment at this time? No? Okay. Okay. Moving on to the notices, I think there's the attachment there for the final State Route 307 corridor study, and also notable presentations from webinars, workshops, and conferences. So the next TCC meeting will be June 16th, 2022 at 2 p.m. And will that also be hybrid as well? I'm assuming we're going to stay with that. Okay. And that's it. Is there anything else that anybody, any other comments or statements, anything anyone wants to bring up before we adjourn?
I just want to say that just please be on the lookout for emails that we send out for the, training to go over submission requirements in the process.
Talk about for the call for projects.
For the call for projects, yes. I'm sorry, I'm doing city council today. This was like one of those odd days where I had both at the same time. So I'm like I said, I'm juggling both. But yes, for a call for projects, we'll send something out. So please make sure that either you or someone on your staff, especially some of the smaller organizations, can participate in that, so we can be of assistance as much as we possibly can.
Okay, thank you, Melanie. And this meeting is now adjourned.